Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 12, which says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, we've been looking at this whole issue of this walking worthy that the Apostle Paul actually says for us, the members of the body of Christ. And remember, as a member of the body of Christ, we became part of the body the moment we put our trust in the gospel, and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and putting our trust in that and that alone for salvation, that's what gives us the gift of eternal life. It has nothing to do with our performance. Our performance has an impact on the rewards that we will receive when we're in heavenly places, ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the Apostle Paul lays out this whole issue of the walking worthy. And as he lays this out, we've been looking at how Paul gives us the doctrinal information that we need to apply to our lives in order to make sure that we are actually walking worthy as the Word of God instructs us to be doing. And you see how as Paul describes this walking worthy, you see how it says that you would walk worthy of God. It's the standard that God has laid out that really matters related to that worthy walk. It has nothing to do with any standard that man would come up with, because man's standards are going to have flaws inside them. Man looks at the outward appearance of things, has no idea of what is truly the motivation behind somebody doing something. For example, if somebody gives $1 million to charity, you know, everyone looks, look how wonderful this person is by doing it. You know, doesn't matter if they were doing it because they truly support that charity and want it to actually be functioning properly, or if they're doing it because, you know, they want all of that praise from men and could really care less about anything other than that. You know, man has a standard that never could match up with what the Word of God says, because man's righteousness is filthy rags in the eyes of God. And we see that over in the book of Jeremiah, where it talks about how anything that we come up with as a standard could never match with what it is that God would have for us to do. In fact, we see if we go all the way back to that idea of creation. Let's go over to Genesis chapter number 1 to see what it is that is written here related to the creation of man. And here in Genesis chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse number 26. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And we see from this, you know, very first chapter in the Bible how it is that man was created. Man was created in the image of God. Man was created according to that standard, and it's that standard that man failed to actually live up to. Man did not function in that manner. All we have to do is just go over two chapters, the chapter number 3, to see the failure of man that is recorded here in Scripture. We'll start right at the very first verse of Genesis chapter number 3, which says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." And we see how Satan functions in, you know, any opportunity that Satan's going to be dealing with man. The whole issue comes back to, hath God said? It's questioning what it is that the Word of God actually has laid out as the responsibility for man. And the responsibility that they had was the fact that they were told, and I'm going to read Genesis 2:17, where it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And it was right after he had told them, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So they were told that they could eat of all the trees of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that would, if, you know, she had answered that question of, you know, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden," and had said, "This is exactly what God had said," there would never have been an issue. The problem is her answer did not reflect what it is that the command of God had been. She changed those words, and the moment she changed those words, you see how Satan is able to then give an answer, say, "Well, you know, that's not completely accurate," and the end result is the fall of man, all because there was a lack of understanding of what the Word of God actually said. We saw at the end of this section how they were attempting to cover this up on their own by making themselves aprons of fig leaves in an attempt to try to cover up the change that had happened in them the moment they partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We see the change that actually happens. If we go over to Genesis chapter number 5, to see how it's recorded here of what had happened. We'll start right at verse 1 of Genesis chapter number 5. It says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." We'll stop there for a moment. That's going back to what we had read a few minutes ago over in Genesis chapter number 1 related to the creation of man. Now we see what happens. Let's read the very next verse, because we have Adam created in the image of God. Verse 3, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." We see how there's a change from Adam being created in the image of God to Seth being born in the image of Adam. all as a result of the fall that had happened. As a result of partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as a result of having that conscience that had come in, that it's no longer things in the image of God, it's in the image of Adam, because, you know, and you see how Paul talks about it, in Adam all die because of the issue of sin that had entered into the world as a result of the fall of Adam. And when you have the things of man over and over again in the scriptures, we see how it is that the things of man keep going contrary to what the word of God actually says. And Israel over and over failed. In fact, you can go to, let's go over to the book of Judges for a moment. And we're going to go to actually the very end of the book of Judges. So there'll be Judges chapter number 21. We're going to read here verse number 25 to show where it is that the nation of Israel had ended up in the time of the judges. We read here Judges chapter 21 verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That there was no king ruling over the nation of Israel. There was, the judges weren't functioning properly either. And instead of having individuals who are going to be guiding them back to what it is that the word of God was actually saying for them, they were just doing the things that they felt were right. And when it comes down to man doing the things that man feels is right, over and over again, it will go contrary to what it is that the word of God actually says. Because the things that we do, when it's relying just on us, it's only going to please us. When we do the things that are associated with the righteousness of God, associated with what the word of God actually says that we are supposed to do, then it's going to be pleasing unto God as well. And when we're doing the things according to the word of God, functioning according to how Paul tells us in his epistles, then we're going to see that we're going to have that walk that truly can be considered to be worthy of God. Let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 for a moment to see what it is that Paul says about who we are as the members of the body of Christ. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we're going to start here at verse number 16. It says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So we see this issue of the individuals who are identified in Christ, who are being identified in this manner. There's some things he calls it, the old things are passed away. You know, that's the things of, you know, dealing with the things of the flesh, dealing with all of those things. When you see, as we looked at last time, when Paul said to put off the old man and put on the new man, there's these things that, you know, we're putting off, those things that says that the old things are passed away, because that's not who we are. It says all things are become new because of that identity that we have. Verse number 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we see how the Lord Jesus Christ, who's identified here as being, where it says, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. So the individual, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never broke the law, was never identified with any issue of sin, that when he was on the cross, he was identified and made him to be sin for us. The issue of sin was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that way we would be able to receive, as it says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the issue of sin was taken off of us, so that way we could receive his righteousness. So that way when God looks at us, he doesn't see the issue of this sin. He doesn't see our flesh. He doesn't see anything that's ever been wrong or contrary to him. When he sees us, he sees his son's righteousness in us. That's why it can be said that we are, you know, looked at as being accepted in the beloved. That we can have all of those blessings that are talked about, that are ours in Paul's epistles, are all true of us because of the fact that we have this righteousness. And because we have this righteousness, this is what is supposed to have the impact on our lives. So when we go read a passage, like for example, let's go over to the book of Galatians. We're going to go to Galatians chapter number 2 to see what it is that the Apostle Paul says here about the members of the body of Christ. And we're going to read here, we're going to start at verse number 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So Paul is continuing to reinforce the idea of how it is that a member of the body of Christ is justified, that we're, you know, we have nothing to do with the things of the law. It has nothing to do with our performance. It has to do, as he lays it out here, by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's his faith. You know, you see that in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, where it says, his faith is counted for righteousness. Because it can only be his faith that can be an issue, because he's the only one that actually could have done everything performance-wise to be able to be considered righteous in the eyes of God. That's why we have no issue of the fact of us having the idea of having this justification being part of the law. It can never be. It's part of what he accomplished and our faith in what he accomplished. Let's continue on here. Verse number 17 of Galatians chapter number 2. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now the Apostle Paul is going to say in the very next verse, talking about this life that he's living, that would reflect this walking worthy of God that we've been looking at over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. So let's read here Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, when it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And so as we see the Apostle Paul describing this life that he's living, you see how he's, you know, keeps using this word I, but is talking about two different things in there, because he's saying, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So there's something that has been rendered to be dead, and which we've already seen over in, you know, 2 Corinthians, where it's talking about the fact that their old things have passed away. So, you know, I am crucified with Christ. That's the old things that are passed away. And he says, behold things, you know, all things are become new. And he says, nevertheless, I live. So we're starting to see how these things are lining up together. And we see how this thing is not I. So it's not the things of who Paul is. It's, but Christ liveth in me. So the life which Paul's identifying that he's living, it's the Lord Jesus Christ living in him. And he says, you know, the life which I now live by in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself through me. So it's the idea of that Paul's living a life to where the Lord Jesus Christ is living in him, so that way he can function through him, doing the things that the Word of God has actually laid out that we are supposed to be doing. That's how a member of the body of Christ is supposed to be. We take the doctrine in, and as the doctrine is in us, and we're relying on the doctrine, it's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us at that time. And when that occurs, we're walking worthy of God. We're building gold, silver, and precious stones that will be there when we're standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there's times when a person is not living that way, and they're allowing, instead of allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to live through them, they're functioning in that way of where Paul's telling us to put off the old man and put on the things of the new man. When somebody's putting, you know, still relying on the things of the old man, it's no longer the Lord Jesus Christ living through them. It's the idea of the believer saying, I can handle this time. It can be me doing it because I understand all this doctrine, so it's going to be me doing it. And when it's me doing it, not the Lord Jesus Christ functioning in us, it's going to be a problem because we're going to mess up, you know, all the time. We cannot do the things that would be pleasing to God without allowing it to be the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. That's why, you know, those bumper stickers that you see, think of bumper sticker theology is very bad because it's going to give things that sound good but really have nothing to do with what the Word of God actually says. You know, there's a bumper sticker you'll see from time to time that, you know, Carl will have it, will say, Jesus is my co-pilot. Which, you know, it sounds good, except for the fact, you know, when you're understanding if Jesus is the co-pilot, then you have to think about who the pilot actually is, because the co-pilot is really only there for backup in case something goes wrong with the pilot. And if Jesus is the co-pilot, that means the man is the pilot. And if it's the man who's trying to function in that role, it's going to be an error every single time, because it's going to go back to that thing of someone trying to rely on their own righteousness, trying to do the things that are pleasing to God. And we can never do the things that are actually pleasing unto God, because in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, in our next episode, we're actually going to start looking at this idea where the verse starts talking about who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And we're going to start looking at what it is that the Apostle Paul is actually making a reference to in that section. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And if you ever have any questions or comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything you hear in one of our messages, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.